You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV begins right now. I think we're good. We're going to do this one by one. Is that you, Ira?
Testing.
Bam. Now watch this. Corey Clark, say something.
Corey Clark is in the house.
Bam. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's roll. We got it.
I think we should do it like that this whole show. You have to turn on our mic to talk and then turn off our mic to talk. It'll be smooth. It'll be great.
I had it done. I just wanted to make sure we were all in the right place and all the right things were leveled up, especially now since we're incorporating Corey on the computer. So we're good. We're all good.
This was like watching Sully land in the river.
Yeah. Skillfully? Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. And what we can say is, yes, of course, welcome in. And yay, sausage right off the bat.
I went to Register Sausage Social Media before we started this because I wanted to see if there's a promo code. I don't know, maybe a pre-draft promo code or something like that. There wasn't one, but you know what there was? I missed this tweet from a week or so ago. Somebody in the Register family tweeted a picture of some victory sausage at a FSU baseball game because you can apparently get Register sausage at a lot of FSU sporting events now, which is
nice,
really awesome.
Nice. I get worried when you say they're tweeting pictures of victory sausage.
I mean, I thought that was a different thing.
Let's get DM. They don't put it on. They don't tweet. But you can have a Register sausage anywhere in it's almost anywhere in the country at this point, but across the Southeast, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, up to South Carolina, not every city in all these places, but they have a coverage map. If you go to the website, registermeats.com, and see where it's available. And if it's not in your lucky, if you're not lucky enough to be in one of those areas, you can have it delivered to you fresh. It's delicious. The jalapeno cheddar might be number one in my heart.
I think it's my favorite.
The andouille is fantastic. But then the basic premium just pork sausage is great too. You can check out. They also have the sampler with a bunch of there's the tweet. Thanks, Tom, for sharing that. Look at that.
That's nice. And good seats, whoever took that picture.
And also well manicured hand. Mm-hmm. But go to registermeats.com for your
look at that. All right, Tom. That seems excessive. That's a bit much. We're staring at a man's hands. Good call on the Register sausage and well promoted today, boys. Hey, this is our first get together post spring. Plus, it's a busy time. We've got baseball tonight and a big weekend series on the road against Duke. And then, of course, Iro is at the courthouse breaking it down yesterday on the JCS joining us.
I had
after a long day of court reporting.
My buddy Steven texted me to make sure I was okay.
Oh, when that car was creeping. Did you see it, Corey, when he came on yesterday?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Corey doesn't watch your show or listen to your show.
That's true. So, Corey, Ira came on the wildly popular Jeff Cameron show yesterday, and he did so live via video outside the courthouse.
Oh, so he didn't look like he was 31 again.
It was awesome. He was there via the courthouse, but as he was breaking down the judge's decision.
I was 42 in that picture, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
This car pulls up and goes past Corey, stops, and begins to back slowly up. And I said at that point, I'm ending the interview. I'm not going to be responsible for watching my man get assaulted on camera.
Jeff thought we were back in shady Tampa.
I did.
Are we on Jimmy Carter?
Or that we were in your hometown in Miami there, buddy.
Everybody's safe down there.
So what I thought was, I know my man can protect himself, but he's going to need time.
I saw the call. I was aware of my surroundings.
I knew you would be. You saw the reflection. But I wanted you to be able to get your hands up. That's all I'm saying. I wanted you to be able to get your hands up. So it was a little dicey.
So who was the guy in the car? Who was in the car? What was the car?
I wasn't standing around to find out. As soon as Jeff let me off the air, I was running.
You sprinted. Yeah. You sprinted down the sidewalk.
Like when you had your squirrel on your leg. You seen
he
that.
He hopped. You sprinted and he hopped.
Yeah, that's
with
right.
The squirrel. Yeah, no, all time great little moment there. But so the point is, very busy time. Very busy time. We have a lot to catch up on, plus headliner questions.
Plus, it's the first time we've all come together to talk about the spring showcase. I know you guys have obviously dissected on your shows, and we talked about it, Tom and I, last night in the Smash, but we could compare some notes on the spring showcase.
Yeah, I don't, the showcase is just like every other spring game in the past. I get it that fans, it's a wonderful time for people to get together and to break up the monotony of not having football in anticipation for the upcoming year. It's just hard to take a lot away. We're really fortunate, the three of us, you get access to the practices. So I don't know that any one show, like a showcase, is going to change your opinion about anything. It might further entrench your thoughts on areas of concern and or really things that you're excited about. But that game didn't do anything for me, and I hate the format. It's not their fault. This is the way it is in college football anymore. A lot of coaches probably don't even wish that they had to do this if they had their druthers.
Right. Oh, yeah, I think that's 100% true. The only thing that I think changed for me a little bit was I feel a little bit more urgency about the receivers.
Yep, you and me both, buddy.
And Corey probably is the third, but I just felt like it's not like that there was anything good during the month before that. I just kind of, it hammered the point home because, I haven't been, none of us have been enamored by them that whole spring.
No.
And then you see a couple of just bad plays. I mean, just not good competitive, what you should be expecting from guys who've been in the system for some time at Florida State. So that to me was a little bit illuminated, but everything else was pretty much what we expected, I think.
Corey, I want you to weigh in on that in a second, but I do think it's interesting because, I certainly voiced an opinion going into camp that I thought there was a real good chance because of the depth and the speed that maybe they would be able to be even a more effective offense. Now I was incorporating the fact that they were all banged up last year. So a lot of their ineffectiveness in the second half of the season on offense had to do with the fact they were hurt. But I thought they had an opportunity to take a big leap, and maybe they still will. Maybe they will in the fall, but I'm not so sure I believe that anymore because I did not see the step forward from some of the veteran receivers that I was hoping to see. I thought we might see a massive leap forward because he's so talented from a guy like Hakeem Williams, and I didn't see that. Not that I don't think he's going to be able to be great at some point. I just didn't see it this spring, and I saw too many drops, which is something I voiced concern about, probably second week of camp, and that really didn't change over the course of the camp. So,
and Destin Hill getting hurt.
Well, that hurts bad because he was having a great camp, and it's a shame. So, yeah, there are a lot of factors that weigh into it, but now my opinion going into camp that I thought they could be a better offense – it's tempered a little bit without question. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, we looked at that wide receiver room and thought, obviously they're not going to be a strong 1-2, but 1 through 11, because they add up, 14 guys on scholarship, you're like, they might be overall a better receiver room, and that just didn't play out. And the beauty that I always want to reiterate to people listening is this, unlike every other college beat in America, this was not our first time seeing this group. So it's not like they might in some places maybe the receivers have a bad day, but they were great all spring and there's nothing to worry about. I think we know from watching them over the last month, this is not a great receiver room. Malik Benson's the best one. Ja'Kai's had a really nice spring. Other than that, is there anybody that fills you with confidence that they are a real player?
The only thing I would say, and this is where it's hard to evaluate. It's just we do think these DBs are really, really good.
Yeah, I think the secondary is very good, period.
So for a guy like Hakeem, I mean, if he's going up against the diet of Azaria Thomas and, Ventrell Cypress.
Yeah, Saturday to Saturday, that won't be the case.
Right. I mean, so
yeah,
that's the only thing that makes me think, okay, maybe we're grading these guys too hard. Because that was the thing, kind of moving on to DJ. Even the balls, he forced a couple passes, obviously. But there wasn't really – it wasn't like he was not seeing somebody else open. Like, guys were blanketed. And, I mean, maybe it's partly because
– well, they know what's coming,
They know what's coming. Norvell's probably being very vanilla.
He is.
And so you don't have guys open. But, that may also be part of, just the quality of that defensive backfield.
This is the frustrating part. You're going to have an opinion. We're paid to do that, to look at it, to provide context for our listeners and readers. And on the other hand, you know, you kind of preface all of those opinions by saying, look, they ran a vanilla offense against a defense that's seen every one of these plays. They know what's coming. And it happens to be what I think is going to be one of the more athletic secondaries in the country, not just the ACC, the country. They got length, size, and speed for days back there. So, and you've got a quarterback learning a new offense. So there's all these factors that would obviously, you know, gear towards the defense, and it did. So we shouldn't be surprised. At the same time, you can't just not tell people that there were way too many drops all spring, and you can't not tell people that you weren't a little disappointed in certain aspects of the receiver room. I think that they're both fair things to say.
You know what's interesting as we were thinking about it? I think the four most talented guys, just pure talent, and I'm taking Ja'Kai out of it, but the other four guys that I think are the most talented guys on the team are Malik Benson, Destin Hill, probably Jaylen Brown, and I think Hakeem Williams. Well, none of those guys have played more than 1 year of Division I football. Hakeem and Jaylen Brown essentially didn't play Division I football last year. Destin Hill really didn't play. And we don't know what Destin's future is going to be as injury-wise, health-wise. But, you know, the guys that we think were the upgrade in talent on this in this position room don't have a lot of experience. So the hope is, you know, what we saw Hakeem and – because Hakeem didn't look very good in August or in April last year either. And then by September, he looked like a different dude.
So he maybe his body, literally, yes.
Maybe he'll take that leap again. I think Malik Benson proved to all of us, hopefully he's okay and healthy, that he has a chance to be an NFL, I think he's an NFL receiver. I don't know about the other guys, though. But the beauty is Jaylen Brown is really inexperienced. Like, he played half a season. You know, he was at LSU for 4 months. So there is a lot of room to grow. And that's why it kind of, for me, the more disappointing aspect of the spring for me with that position room was Kentron and Darian. I just thought this was their time to shine. Kentron was so good last spring, and then this spring he didn't carry it over.
I brought that up to Tom on the Smash. Who was playing DB last spring? Because Vandravius and Kentron like went off every day at practice, and that was the last. I know Kentron was hurt some of the fall, but even when he was available, he wasn't doing much. Yeah. Vandravius didn't do anything. And then the spring, they've both been pretty quiet. Kentron's had a few moments. I don't know if Vandravius has had two good moments in the spring.
There was
now he's in the portal.
Yeah, now he's in the portal.
But what happened last spring? I wish I could go back in time.
Yeah, I mean, Cypress was here. Azaria was here. I think Renardo practiced in the spring. Yeah,
it was weird. I don't know. I mean, Vandravius was lighting the world on fire, hit the ground running. We all thought, wow, if that's the beginning.
He was probably, because he was an early rollie, my guess is he was probably matched up against those freshmen DBs.
And he was torching their ass. It's never been a question of ability with him. And so, you know, I'm not surprised to see him hit the portal. I think that there were growing frustrations on both sides there. So be it. It's going to happen. That's
an old dad 77 in the chat. Instead of all day, Dre wants to call him some of the morning.
Sometimes Dre is in the portal. Yeah. You know, it's not surprising to see him go in the portal. I guess let's get our opinions out there that we're going to see in the neighborhood of 7 to 10 guys at the portal from FSU, don't you think? I mean, I don't think there's any question. We already have two that we know of, right?
And 10's definitely, I think 10's probably close to it. It could be a little bit more. I'd be surprised if it's much less.
Well, and they have those meetings, right? I mean, like when you conclude practices and you get done and everything has been finalized, then you get a chance as a coaching staff to sit down with your guys and have honest dialogue about where you see them and how you see their role and what they need to do. And a lot of times players are not going to like what they hear. And it goes both ways. You know, I mean, coaches may be surprised by what they hear. So there'll be several things there, but I would guess that 7 to 10 is an easy number to bank on here for Florida State in terms of players departing in the
transfer. Probably, I would guess, at least three receivers, right? I mean, Vandravius is one, but they still got a glut of scholarship receivers out there, guys that can probably play somewhere. But again,
especially if you're going to go, if you're in the market for more, which they appear to be, Matt has a piece up right now on our website, warchant.com, with some of the receivers that they've already been in contact with in the portal.
Yeah, and you've got guys here that have been here since 2020. That still don't have an earned spot as a starter. And it's like, okay, maybe they'll just, if they see them getting portaled over again, it might be like, okay, let me go try to find a place where I can play a lot. Portier's the guy, man. I'm just telling you, I think Portier is a good, I think he can be a good college receiver. I think he's proven that. He's made plays. I do think he was really good in the spring. He was good against Georgia. He was the only guy that was good against Georgia. And those were real DBs he was going against where he's making a 60-yard catch. I think he can be a player. I hope he becomes better than what we saw in the spring, or maybe just a little slowed by an injury or something. I don't know.
Let me ask you this though. So if you're Mike Norvell and you went out and got DJ Uiagalelei and you went out and got 15 portal guys and you
nailed decided, that pronunciation, by the way, though, Ira.
I don't know. I'm doing my best, man.
I've crushed the spelling, I think. I don't even have to look it up anymore.
Our whole staff, I was thinking about that the other day, is the one person who has to read everybody's content. Like, everybody, Matt nails it. You've nailed it. Tom nails it. We're all killing it.
You know, you can look it up, Ira.
I know, but that used to be tedious when he played.
Yes, it did. And I did do it the first probably six stories I wrote. And then
the problem
with
a name like that is once you have it down, you still have to go back and look because you're asking yourself, that may not be right.
No, I get it now, but I used to like have to copy and paste it. Every time I used his name again, I would just paste. I'm not even trying to pronounce it, but I do know how to spell it now. So,
but the point is, you made these moves because you said this is not going to be a step back season.
No, you don't want it to be a rebuild.
You
want to
be in the playoff. You want to win the ACC. Can you trust that a guy who's been here 5 years? And how many catches does Kentron have in his career?
Well,
he's going to be a dependable number two receiver in the fall. Can you trust that based on what we've seen so far?
So the thing about it is, Corey, I agree with both of your sentiments right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in the portal.
I would hope not. I
want people to understand that I'm just giving you an opinion of what I think is going to happen or might happen. And I wouldn't be surprised is a better way of saying it. I wouldn't be surprised.
That's all I'd say. I wouldn't be shocked if either here or Darion Williamson.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if both did. And I'm not rooting for it. I'm not against the guys. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if Deuce is gone, if Kentron is gone, if Darion Williamson is gone. We already lost, obviously, one. Vondravius Jacobs is gone. I wouldn't be surprised if you lost four or five guys in that receiver room. And listen, that's the part of it. It just has to be that way. As you elevate your talent level, some guys get washed out. Doesn't mean they can't play. Doesn't mean that a change of scenery won't do them good and that they'll end up starting and having a successful career somewhere. But I do think maybe in some cases time is up here. Because if they're going to go out and bring in a guy, maybe two, well, hell, man, what's that telling you?
I think that's the question, is who's coming in. Because, again, you don't want to have four guys leave and you only bring in one, and then you have a pit game from last year where you have no receivers available. Like, you want to have some depth and not freshman depth. By the way, McCoy is a guy that did not play in the spring game think was by far the most impressive of any of the freshmen. Redshirt, I guess Hakeem's a sophomore. Any of the second-year or first-year guys, I thought LaWayne McCoy was the best receiver out there for those guys, not counting Destin Hill because he missed so much of it.
But the point, and I made this point last night in the Smash, after listening to you and Aslan talk on Wake Up, because they brought up, and I think Aslan brought up, it might have been Corey, that the 22 receiving core was probably similar to what this one looks like right now. But the difference is, in what I said last night, is DJ isn't Jordan Travis. Like, Jordan Travis in 2022 made up for so much because with all the running and everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, he didn't do that last year and they had a better receiving core. Well, if you step back in receiving core, you're going to need a quarterback that's making plays with his feet. And that's not really DJ's game. He can do it, but it's not like Jordan.
You know what
did.
They do no. have though, both of you guys that they didn't really have last year, but they did have in 22. And I think we all think they're going to be better as a running game.
Right.
The running game really should help. You know, the last but year Jordan it was all receivers.
But Jordan also helped that with his running.
I think DJ will help that with the. I think he does a good job with at least on the spring game. He did a real good job holding the mesh point for so long and had a couple of nice runs.
He looks really good around the zone read for sure.
I do believe that they're going to have to run the ball better with DJ for a couple of reasons. First of all, I do think that again they're not as elite on the front line of that receiving core. Same for tight end situation, but also if you're going to take advantage of his skill set, which is to throw the ball down the field, he needs extra time to do that. Plays have to develop down the football field. You better be able to block it up. And if you want to utilize that strength, you better be able to run, because then you're going to throw off a play action over their heads and let those long developing down the field plays happen. I think it's another question at right tackle. I think you have a question mark, and we can come back and talk about it. In fact, we'll do it in just a moment. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, kind of curious what you guys think about that situation at tackle. I've been a little concerned about it. Now, we'll see how they address it, if they address it in the portal. You know, coaches will give you the answers as to whether they agree with us, with whom they bring in. That's how that works. If you say that you're worried about a position and they don't bring anybody in, clearly they're telling you they're not worried about it. So I am interested to see if they feel similarly, that they could use maybe – another offensive lineman or two. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
I brought this up on War Chant, Ira. Wake Up War Chant, great. The steadily growing in popularity podcast, Wake Up War
Chant. I like the way you phrase that.
Don't you think that, like, you could say that for every position? Literally. We could be better here. We could be better here. At some point, you have to just say this is what we are, because I think we think they could be better at wide receiver, tackle, linebacker. They need another body at the defensive line. Could use a safety. Could use maybe a fourth corner. Could use a
– I don't think you need another corner.
Probably not, but if there's a really good one out there, you wouldn't turn them down.
I mean, if Deion's out there or something, right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
you know, remarkable about this day and age is that – what do you got? You got a week left. You could legitimately go improve your team at every single position if you wanted to. But to what end, and what does that do to the people that are on your roster?
Yeah,
are the interesting decisions that they have to make.
Theoretically, and it is a great thing. Like, we all, you know, people yesterday when Vandravius went into the portal, I had a couple of people text me who don't, you know, follow the team as closely, but they were just like, what in the world, you know, mad. And like, I think that's the reaction most people have about the portal, is thinking about the players you lose. But it is amazing that you can go through a spring and kind of decide, you know what, I want to pick up a free agent at, you know, tight end. So that is cool. At the same time, you know, obviously because of their numbers, like when we talk about them maybe losing 8 to 10 guys in the portal, that's just so they can bring in a couple, because they're over.
Yeah, they're over.
They're going to be, if everybody stayed and they didn't get anybody else, they'd be over scholarships this fall. So they have to lose a few anyway, and then they have to lose a few more to make room for anybody else they want to bring in.
Can I interrupt you again real quick on that, Ira? Go ahead, buddy. If they had 88 players on scholarship, guys that they wanted, so they're over by three, could they not use like NIL to pay for this? They could make those three extras walk-ons, but then the NIL could pay their enrollment and everything. Couldn't that work that way? So theoretically, you could have a roster of real scholarship players larger than 85.
Theoretically, you could. It would be harder. The one thing you got to remember about scholarship guys is there's an esteem part of that. You know, guys don't want to be walk-ons. I mean, when you think of, there have been players here who have been walk-ons that also had nice NIL deals, but went somewhere else because they wanted to be on scholarship. I don't think you'd move guys down. Maybe, you know, what they've done in the past, even before this world, was you might have a guy come in, if you're over scholarships because more kids qualified than you thought, more kids stayed in college, then maybe you ask a kid, hey, can you come in January to get us through this scholarship crunch, which guys don't like to do either. So I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think it's more likely you'll see some guys leave.
But it is something you could do. Like, if you're at 85 and you're stuck at 85, then Keon Coleman is available. You take Keon Coleman, and then you tell somebody, hey, man, you still have to pay a single dime for school, but it's going to be a different way. So anyway, go ahead.
Part of the problem with that, you could do it. You're right, Corey. You, in theory, could do it. The problem is, though, and I don't like to describe it as a budget per se, but there is. I mean, the NIL opportunities are only so many, and they can only afford so much, and you're not going to
– So if you got to take another $80,000, which is what it costs, or $50,000, whatever it costs easily, to have a tuition and all the fees and all that stuff.
I think that – just to clarify for people when we talk about this, because, you know, it does make me laugh. I get emails about this and I see stuff on the message boards about this, and people hear what they want to hear. But what you're doing is you're fine tuning a roster. This isn't to say they're not going to be a good team if they remain as is.
Right.
We know they're good, but the goal is never to just sit idly by and accept that if you don't have to, accept that you're going to have an area of real concern or weakness. Not in this era, not with a coach who has mined the portal better than anybody in the country. So
you're trying to optimize it.
Correct. And because you have a really good collective in the battles in, and you have a coaching staff that doesn't done a great job of assessing what players are from other programs and how they'd fit in your program, that means you trust them because they've done such a good job. So when you sit back and say at the end of a spring showcase or at the end of weeks of watching practice that, hey, they could be better at tackle, they could be better at linebacker or wherever you're choosing to focus, you're saying that because you think those are areas of concern or weakness, comparatively speaking. Like, Corey's right. Yes, you could use a great player at every position. Who the hell wouldn't want more great players? But in truth, what you're doing is when we come in here to talk about it, is we say, all right, well, they're good. They're good enough to compete to win the conference, which gets them into the college football playoff. So if we just accept that they're a college football playoff team, all right, now you want to win the championship. What would it take to win a championship? Because that's your goal. Once you stop sucking, the goal is to then get back to being peak efficient Florida State. When Florida State's right, they win championships and they compete for championships. So that's what you're comparing against.
Yeah, and back to Corey's point was I agree that there are places in probably four or five positions, excuse me, where you'd like to get somebody. I think it's going to be, to me, the no doubters, defensive tackle, you need to get somebody, you know, to fit into that two
rotation. Yep.
I think you need at least one wide receiver. Probably offensive tackle, to your point, if they don't feel good about that position.
Is it the Rizzo kid coming in? Or is he?
Yeah, transfer from Harvard. But I think the talk was when he committed that he was probably going to be an interior lineman. He played tackle there. The talk is that he'd probably he might end up being a center, I think. But you got everything else is, to me, it's like it's kind of best available. You know, if you I don't know that there's anything else urgent or anything where you have to just have a body. If you can get more than that, but to me, those are the ones. It would be a disappointment if they came out of this portal without a really good receiver and a good defensive tackle.
Yeah, and I think they'll go after it, and then I think that they'll also look at offensive tackle, perhaps.
Yeah,
but I also do believe they're in a place at that position group where you don't take a guy just to take a guy.
I agree.
You have to have. It has to be a guy that's going to be a starter or make a real difference on your team.
Got
to
be better than the Jalen Earlys.
Yes.
You know, and some of those guys. Yeah. You know, because I mean, those are guys who have been in the system.
And, yeah, absolutely. Got to be better than that. And I think, you know, if you find a guy out there that you see, let's say Byers projects as a starting right tackle right now. If you see somebody that you think is definitively better and has done it at the Power 5 level and he wants to come here, I think you would entertain that.
It's very different from 3 years ago when they brought like Devontae Love Taylor because he had played football before. You know, no offense, that we love DLT.
He was
a part of the family.
Not ripping him.
He was part of the War Champ family.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
We still probably play his ads on the during the
Well, that's the point we're making, though, that's how far they've come, is that now we talk about certain segment groups where it would be a luxury item, but not a necessity, and other position groups where you'd say, well, can you get somebody better because you're not elite there?
Not where
as opposed to, we just don't have enough dudes that can stand upright.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we were before, right? I mean, that's the tough part of all of this. So I think, you know, I wouldn't be – and this is what the portal allows for. And, you have a staff that's done an awesome job of assessing those needs and getting guys to not just say yes, but guys to come in and do the right thing in the locker room and go to work and be about the culture. That's why you make the suggestions, because you trust the people pulling the trigger on the decisions.
I really think right now the one necessity, two, you're right, and Ira, you mentioned it. I think you need a defensive lineman. Doesn't have to be a superstar. I think you need a wide receiver that can really play, a wide receiver that has put up numbers in the college level and is a big-time talent, not just a dude, not just a guy that can add some depth. I think you need to go get yourself a starting wide receiver. I think those are the two necessities. And after the spring, not just the spring game, again, we get the benefit of getting to watch all these practices. This is not an opinion that was formed from 2 hours on Saturday.
Right.
Go get yourself a starting wide receiver. And then this offense, with the way it can apparently run the ball, could be really fun.
The nice thing is, I mean, Malik Benson came to Florida State in large part because of DJ. Like, fans can have their own opinions of what DJ is, but he's a guy that's played college football for three full seasons. They know he's not going to fall apart in the moment. And some of these guys have been at school. Some of these guys in the portal, Matt wrote about a few of them today on the site. They're at schools that have terrible quarterback play. I mean, kid from Arizona State. Imagine he caught 65 passes last year with the quarterback situation they had at Arizona State.
Right.
So, and the guy Penn State wants to be with a more veteran quarterback.
Ira,
so
to your
this
point,
should be attractive, especially when you got Mike Norvell calling plays.
Well, to your point, a year ago, I was beating the drum about
Keon did, yeah.
Yeah, I was beating the drum that they had to go get another receiver. And I said at the time, if that Keon Coleman kid is interested, you better go get him. One of the reasons I said you better go get him is, A, I thought they needed him to, you know, that's what Corey's saying right now. But I also thought that dude had 77 receptions at Michigan State with that ass-sorry quarterback and that ass-sorry league for passing. My God, imagine what he'll be when he comes here with a real offense and a real quarterback and a coach that played the position. Yeah. You know, now, I couldn't have guessed that he was going to get hurt halfway through the season. We saw glimpses of greatness, and then he got hurt. So we know it was the right move. And as, at the end of the day, even when he was hurt, he still won a bunch of jump balls, including the Clemson game.
LSU and Clemson, you probably don't win. You may not win either one of those.
Yeah. So he was a stud. So yeah, you get, when you identify those things and you call it out and you're like, if they got a chance to get him, then you would want to go do it. I agree with the two of you. I think those two positions for sure. And then I would throw in offensive tackle at this point. Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in just a moment.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Got a question here from Blake, who writes, who's the it factor on the team now? Who do we feel like is the guy to build around? So he's wondering, I guess the alpha, as the kids would talk about now, the sigma, whoever it is, I don't know, that is the leader of this team right now. Do they have one?
I mean, it might be Shaheem Brown, vocally. I mean, Shaheem is relentless, dude. Like, at practice, he is, it's fun to watch him. It's fun to watch him just the way he elevates the competition in the whole team. You know, I mean, he is constantly jawing to those guys in offense, no matter what happens. And to the offensive coaches, to me, he's kind of got that big personality. I don't know if, I mean, some of the other great players don't really have big voices. Like Marvin Jones Jr., I don't think he's ever going to be like a huge talker. Azariah is not, I mean, Azariah talks some. He's done more this spring. But I don't know if there's any clear alpha like a Jared Verse.
On defense, you don't, or, but offense, who is it? Like, I don't even know if anybody's in the running on offense. As far as a personality wise, I think you hope DJ is, and you hope Malik Benson is, guys that can be the it factor as far as.
I think Malik's got some of
them. Malik's seems to be kind of a consummate professional in a weird way. I mean, he's so mature when you talk to him.
Right.
He's a guy that, A, took to leadership right away, but it's more by doing the right thing minute to minute. You know, I don't think he's going to be trash talking players.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's that kind of like bow up sort of thing. Like Verse got under people's skin. You know, Verse was, you know, a guy that people wanted to fight sometimes because he could be difficult. But I don't know that they have that guy. I don't know that they need that guy. You always need your quarterback to assume some form of leadership. It's the most important position on the field. You have to have it. But that also can be done by a soft-spoken guy who just does the right thing every day. See Jordan Travis.
It was funny. Rashad Greene was at practice. Well, he was at Pro Day. He came to Pro Day to watch those guys. He came back. I guess they were also having that legacy weekend. And I was talking to him a little bit. And we were talking about there was a player on the team that was a former player on the team getting ready for the draft. And somebody on the staff was saying, you know, how much he's matured and basically, you know, just explaining that they're so happy for him because for a while they were worried, you know, he'd just get in his own way, just make bad decisions, just not always do the right thing. And I made a joke to Rashad about, you know, maybe a player he might have played with at the time that had some issues along those ways. Yeah. And he was talking about, and I just remembered back to that time where Rashad basically had to like almost like, I think he went to Jameis and was like, listen, dude, you can't do this anymore. Like, you can't do the things you've done in the as high profile as you are. We don't think you're a bad guy. We're not mad at you, but
yeah, the immaturity can't happen.
And so Rashad Greene, who is maybe the quietest guy on that team, was the guy that went to Jameis Winston and said, dude, no, you're going to sit in my apartment on Friday night and we're going to hang out. That's what you're doing.
Play a little Madden.
Yeah. I mean, but that's leadership. That's not.
Yeah. Out there. That's really good leadership. And there are a lot of guys in any locker room that are like that. You'd never know it because they're not going to tell you about it. And they're not going to be out front about it. And they're not over the top boisterous and they're not a loudmouth like me either. There's somebody who's quiet, but they're observing all the time. And they know the impact, like in the room and in the locker room and on the field. And so they can go over to a guy and say, look, we need you. I mean, probably more than we need anybody else. You're playing the most important position. But I also need you to understand the importance of what you do every second of every day. Yeah, it's cool when you have that. Coaches love players like that when they know they can just entrust the locker room to police itself. Every coach is vying for that, is let the guys run the locker room.
And you remember, like, I was so impressed. Well, we haven't talked to all the transfers since spring started, but when they all came in and they had their entrance interviews with us, they all were so mature. And you hope somebody like Lola Hea, who's only here for a year, will be willing to be a leader, even though maybe he doesn't even feel like this is his program right now. But hopefully by August, it is his program. Hopefully he's not just here, although it'd be great if he used those 3 months to be an NFL draft pick, because that means he played well. But hopefully he becomes a part of the culture, and because I think he would be a voice that mattered. I think Roy Dell Williams would be a big voice that mattered.
He definitely.
Malik Benson, who we just talked about, guys like that. If they'll take ownership of the program and not just be mercenaries, which to Norvell's credit, it seems like that's the culture here. Is the transfers come in and embrace the culture and then become part of it, not just outsiders and interlopers. So hopefully that's what happens, because I think those guys could be good leaders too.
Nice use of interlopers.
Yeah.
Dave writes,
carpetbaggers is what they are.
I just like saying interlopers, so I perked up when you did. Not to go full Dabo, writes Dave. By the way, never go full Dabo. But has our use of, that's a really great reference, by the way. But has our use of the transfer portal stunted the development of players like Hakeem and Early? Less first team practice and game reps means less experience. Well, I think to any degree, no, I not to the negative, but I think to any degree that you bring in players from outside the program and recruit over players in the portal, you are by definition probably stunting growth, because yes, they're not going to get as many reps. You're also stunting a whole lot of L's. So there's a trade-off there where you're like, he won't grow up as fast and become what I need him to be as fast as I'd like. We also won't suck this Saturday because this kid's good that we're starting in front of him. So,
and in some cases, you know, you mentioned Jalen Early. I mean, Alex Atkins would say the exact opposite, that playing Maurice Smith and Darius Washington and Robert Scott
when they were freshmen
as freshmen was not good for them physically because they didn't get a chance to really build their bodies in the weight room. They had to go play, and then they, you know, had to deal with a lot of injuries.
We were in a vicious cycle with that for a long time.
Dealt with a lot of injuries because of that. So, you know, when Jalen Early does get to play, hopefully he'll be more physically ready. Now, Hakeem's different, and he's had opportunities, man. Like, and Corey could talk about it because Corey watches the receivers and DBs probably more than anybody, and they all get a ton of at-bats. Yeah. It's not like he's sitting on the sideline watching the older guys play.
Also, Hakeem, when he had opportunities a year ago, made the most of them. He came into camp fat and out of shape. Got in great shape.
Spring camp.
Yeah, spring camp. Spring. We're talking about spring, close spring practice. So this is a year ago. So comes into spring, he's fat and out of shape. I joked that he was close to being a tight end. Comes in the fall, looks great, attacks all of the things that they want attacked, like the reps, also being a better, you know, a willing blocker, all of those things. So he shoots up the depth chart. He gets an opportunity. We start to see him in games. He's playing well when he gets those opportunities, including one electrifying play.
Yeah.
In which you're like, oh my gosh, look at that speed. Look at what he can be. And then he gets hurt. And that's what stunted his growth, is he got hurt and he missed weeks on end. I mean, you can't continue to get better. You're not getting game reps at all. You're not even getting practice reps because you got hurt. So really, that I think that's the problem. I will say I thought we'd see a better step forward in the spring, but per the things we alluded to earlier, it makes it kind of hard. The defense certainly knows what's coming. All the tells are figured out after a week. And they ran a vanilla offense on Saturday. They weren't showing you anything. These guys knew what was coming. Every play you could watch guys kind of cheat or lean. I mean, you know, we can all see that. So, again, maybe he will in the fall, and maybe when they're not going up against elite defensive backs or very, very good defensive backs every rep, you might see more progress.
I want to cut you off, Ira. We don't body shame on this show. Jeff does, apparently, but I'm not going to sit here and co-sign that Hakeem Williams was fat. He was a little chubby for a wide receiver, a Division I five-star Division I wide receiver. He did not look in April of last year like he looked in September of last year. So, but good point, hey, good point. We don't body shame around here. How could we?
It's all relative to him being a five-star with huge expectations. Right, right. So everybody knows I'm not talking about the dude walking in the mall.
Right.
Jeremy in the chat says, "Been seeing you all over the weekend." I wanted to say, same to you, Jeremy. And I also want to say, I was thinking about this over the weekend at all the events that we had going on. What if we coined the War Chant family? Because I feel like, man, it's just cool. Like at the Moon, you guys were at the Corner Pocket.
Yeah.
And I was over at the Moon at the Battle's End event.
Yeah, hold it
And it
down.
Was just cool how many people would brought up the fact that, like, they wanted to go to the Corner Pocket, but they wanted to come
there.
They were
just torn. Well, where to go?
And then people went to both.
They did.
You know, and I just thought it was cool. It's just cool that we've got this. And then, you know, the event on Saturday at Hotel Indigo. You know, it's just cool that we've got this, like, family. It's a War Chant family. It's just it's cool. It's not just, you know, because before you came over, you had your fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe there's some crossover. But now it's cool that there's so many people that, like all of the people that do our shows.
Well, it's pretty clear, Corey, to echo Ira's point, it is by far and away the most lauded, vaunted, thorough, most interesting family, since I was calling it that, in all of the Florida State football coverage. I mean, it's really not close.
All of college football coverage.
Yeah, I was going to say all of college football. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Do you think, like, I don't know the Georgia 247 site or the Georgia On 3 site. I assume it's called Dog Pound or something. Do you think if they have a show or multiple shows a week that there's like, oh, man, I'm such a big fan of Jimmy Smith, the writer for Dog Pound. It's weird. Like, I think it's because we've been doing it so long more than anything. And we've been in people's lives and in people's faces. Jeff for damn near 25 years, more than
25 years. Yeah.
Ira's almost 25 years. I'm 15, 16 years doing this. So it's it's really cool, man. And people are really, really positive and always. They say some stuff that's really meaningful, like stuff about how they were going through a bad time and just knowing that our shows would be coming up and feeling like they were our friends was always and they're not. Guys, you're not our friends. Don't act like you're our friends. You're not.
On this note, by the way, Corey, and I do think it's a cool opportunity because this was touching and Ira was saying, and this is like, you know, we joke and tongue in cheek and all that stuff a lot of the times, but it is sincere what you just alluded to, Corey, that it's awesome when you meet somebody who's been a reader and a listener and a follower of what we do. Because often, first of all, it's humbling as hell and cool. But secondly, you get to learn about the people that you're working for, you're servicing.
And there's a lot of, and there's often cases there's overlap, like where people who are friends of ours who also listen or started off as listeners, become friends or vice versa. This is one of those that is personal friends, but also.
But before you start, Ira, real quick, before you start, you guys all are our friends. I was joking. I got really distracted at finishing my joke because Jeff started pointing like a crazy person. But what I was telling joke? I was when just I'm telling directing. People that they weren't our friends. Don't act like you're our friends. You're just our audience and you pay our set. But that was a joke. Clearly, we all are. Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that now we're going to do something.
Corey's been made paranoid by this.
Yes,
this
the whole thing. I'm paranoid. Yeah, let's go.
Paranoid about everything. Yes.
This is from a friend of ours, Sean, who sent this email to me last night. Ira, well, it's to all of us, but he's emailed to me. I joined the Dead Dads Club today.
Oh no.
Yeah. And you know, that the Dead Dads Club, real quick, is one of those things that, like, I've had so many people that love it, even, you know, get it. Like, people, you gotta get it.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a sick sense of humor around here.
Sean does too. And he says, I'm devastated, but I wanted to write into Seminole Headlines on behalf of my father and say, eating gators is one word. In case you didn't know, his dad was firm on this.
Yes.
That is all one word. He played golf at FSU in the early 70s.
Nice.
He hated the Gators maybe more than he loved the Noles, which is a phenomenon that our friend Keith Cottrell, I think, is espouses as well. My earliest memories were home games against Duke and Maryland. He took my brother and I to UF in 93. And when they listened to the Choke and Doke on the road when Choke and Doke was happening, they stopped to find a payphone to call back home to celebrate that. He loved Bobby. He was thankful for the good Jimbo. He was hopeful for Norvell. He loved 11. He loved Dennis Nobles, my coach on the track and field team. Sean was a high jumper at FSU for a while.
I know Sean.
For a boy from nowhere, Crystal River, Florida, in the 1970s, he loved Tallahassee and FSU and the opportunity it gave him. His kids are Noles. His grandkids will be Noles. Drinking some Stag tonight in his honor. Plan on going 16-0 next year and ESPN in his honor. His name is Denny Allen. Everyone called him DA. All the best, Sean. And Sean's brother Jason's also another good friend of ours. And our thoughts are with them. And
yeah, man, that's nice. Tough. That's really nice to hear. By the way, I could throw some levity in here. If you say he was from and living in the Crystal River area in the 70s, good chance your dad was selling weed. I got to let you know.
Or consuming.
Consuming. A lot of running weed in that area of Florida.
Well, also, the best.
You might not have known that about him.
Gerald Ensley, may he rest in peace. When
he was running weed.
He would tell these stories about Doak in the 70s when nobody was going to the games before Bowden.
Yeah.
And he said it was just hippies in the stands smoking weed.
Yeah. Bless their heart.
Good times.
Man, I mean, they were finding something to do.
But they're probably tripping balls and like, wait, is that a dude on a horse? Why do we have a horse in the middle of the field? Is he on fire?
This is amazing. Call Keith. This is so cool. We're coming every Saturday. All the games are at night. We got all day to build up to it. And they don't really police it all that much. They're smoking the air already. This is incredible. Yeah, I would just tell you that, if you know anything about that little corridor of Florida, man, it was a good time for a lot of people in that area.
Hey, so but he got out. He got out.
If you were near a water source in Florida in the 70s, you were probably –
And it, like all the money that was made for those guys, and you'll read – you've seen the documentaries and stuff. It's like, and they did 4 months. 4 months for millions of dollars. What a gig. I'm doing my 4 months. I'm just saying.
We don't think Denny Allen was really
smuggling. We don't. It sounds like I'm really asserting that he was smuggling weed throughout the state. It took a weird right turn in the midst of all of this.
Anyway, our thoughts are with you guys. For sure.
We are. And I will tell you, hour number two is forthcoming. We do have a hard out at the end of the hour. So, boys, I turn your mics off is how it rolls so that we can't start up another conversation. But I do want to say that headliner questions forthcoming. I will also note that to echo Iris' sentiments, it was awesome to meet so many people again this weekend. And I do, with great sincerity, speak for all of us, we're always flattered. It's awesome. The events are incredible and people come out and we hear stories like that. It makes my day. Some of the headlines continues in just a moment.